So, folks, we talk to Lani every few weeks about sophrology. And as always, Lani, give us a rundown of what sophrology is just quickly before we get started.
Yeah, so I've just whittled it down to say that sophrology is happiness training, because in a state of meditation, we're able to rest our nervous system and calm our thoughts. And when we do that, we're basically creating those hormones, those happy hormones of serotonin and dopamine, which gives the brain more of a feeling of contentment and happiness.
So this is not a necessarily big, strong, ecstatic, joyful feeling, just not feeling unhappy. How would you describe that?
It's more of a because in a state of happiness, you have less tendency to worry. You have more of a clarity in your brain, so you can make better decisions and manage life better. You don't anger so easily. You're more patient, and you just look at life with more joy. Sort of like what we just talked about, where, oh, it's cloudy this morning. Oh, well, yesterday was beautiful and blue sky, so I'll think about that one. It's just more easy to toggle back to where you feel happiness rather than staying in that sedated space of depression and sadness and worry.
I guess the opposite of that is it's sunny today and you go, oh, well, it'll probably rain tomorrow.
Exactly.
We have a culture in this country, and I don't know about others, where you say that kind of as a joke, but it still carries that kind of a little bit of that weight with it. Maybe we should stop making those jokes, even though it gets a laugh out of a few people.
Yeah, true. You know, because that joke is actually painfully true. When in those places where people are more prone to feeling negatively about life and having a more subdued and depressive outlook, it's hard to enjoy the beautiful sunshine and to say, like you said, oh, well, you know, the sun's shining today, but tomorrow's going to be cloudy. So, yeah, you know,
let's avoid that.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, so you want to talk about getting out of our heads?
We were just saying.
I guess so. Well, I mean, if you're having good thoughts, you don't want to get away from those, but positive thoughts. But what does that actually mean, getting out of? Let's define that. We hear the phrase a lot, but what do you mean in this context of sophrology?
Well, when we talk about getting out of the head, what we're talking about, I guess, is more of not allowing your thoughts to determine your actions. Your unuseful, your unhelpful thoughts, the thoughts that cause stress and anxiety, the thoughts that create worrisome, you know, behaviors for you, or anger, you know, struggling with anger management, struggling with depression. Allowing those thoughts to kind of freeze you and keep you stuck. So getting out of your head, when you're getting into your body, you're more, you're using that intelligent source for learning and activity, and you're able to just be more productive.
So what does it mean to get out of your head and into your body? Because we are literally in both at the same time. What are you meaning when you say that?
Because when you're in your head, when your thoughts are determining your behaviors or they're beating you up, you know, if you have damaging thoughts to yourself, you know, I'm no good at this, or I fail, you know, I'm such a failure, or whatever. When you identify in your body, the physical body, it's basically your body is an instrument of intelligence, and it learns by moving and doing. The endorphins in the body, the hormones in the body that are productive and help us to achieve things in life, we need to move, and we need to be doing and being active so that we can achieve things. And literally, so getting out of your head means, and getting into your body means, tuning into the physical sensation using your nervous system to identify what you're feeling, what you're sensing. In Tadeo, the nervous system is called Io, and it means to twitch or to move. And Io is also the word for spiritual energy or supreme being. So when you can identify with your nervous system and recognize it as your spiritual energy, you're able to receive those messages from your body, the physical sensations, the body's trying to tell you something. What is it telling me? When you feel pain in your body, in a muscle or something, what is your nervous system telling you? It's telling you that your muscle hurts. When you feel discomfort from nausea or whatever, it's telling you that there's an illness coming on. So your body's speaking to you. And so we identify what is the body saying to us. That spiritual energy can also be telling you how brilliant and fantastic you are. And it's trying to get over those demeaning thoughts that are not getting you anywhere, that are keeping you stuck.
So I guess you're shifting your awareness is what you're talking about, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So how, yeah. So, in some ways, I guess that's straightforward. Just start thinking about your body, doing a check-in with various parts of your body, maybe?
Yep. The parts of your body, what you're sensing in the moment, using your five senses. So it's literally becoming present. Your body exists in present time. It can't be in the past and it can't be in the future. It's in the present. And so when you get out of your head, because our thoughts are usually things that have focused on things that have happened in the past or things that are going to happen in the future, and we're not physically present and mentally present with our body and what our body's feeling. Like right now, as you and I are having a conversation, there's a lot going on around you. Your body is, well, I can't see you, but I'm assuming you're sitting in a chair.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Well done.
So are you tuned into the support of the chair that is beneath you? Are you tuned into the space around you? What you can see with your eyes, what you can hear with your ears. You probably got headphones on your ears. So
yes.
The only thing you can hear is my voice. But
yes. I can tell you what I'm doing because we're having this conversation. I've got a pen in my hand and I'm just rotating it in my fingers and I'm focusing on that a little bit because my brain was probably going a little bit too fast to be useful for the interview. So yeah,
right.
But you prompted me to do that, really, to focus on something physical.
Yep. Focus on the movement and it'll be productive. Now your fingers are prepared to write something down. If you have a thought, you write it down so that when I stop talking, you can, you can express yourself.
Well, actually, here's the complicating thing. For some reason, I've closed my eyes so I can concentrate.
And that's, I do that a lot as well, because when you have your eyes open, you see things and that's a distraction for you. So when you're trying to focus and concentrate by closing your eyes, you're going inward, you're going into your body. You're sensing the sensations inside of your body, you're self-sensing. Now your body is actually tuned into the physical sensation that you're feeling. So as I'm speaking, your body is talking to you and telling you, prompting you with some questions that you might have in regards to getting out of your body and into your head.
Well, now it's all a mess because I'm like simultaneously thinking about the questions and doing this meta overlook of what I'm doing. I'm observing myself, observing myself at this point in time with this conversation.
Exactly. Inception.
yeah, pretty much. That's what's going on. I'm getting a little bit lost. You'll have to start asking the questions soon. But we hear this a lot these days about getting out of our heads, and maybe some people aren't that bothered by it, and about how we spend too much time thinking about worrying about the future or obsessing about the past and things like that. And is that something peculiar to our culture? I've read that a lot of indigenous cultures didn't quite have this problem. Is it peculiar to our Western consciousness? Well, not peculiar, but particularly excessive in our Western consciousness?
With the Western, we're so focused on something tangible and something productive and, constantly trying to do, and you know, it's all about doing and doing and doing. And in the Eastern culture, it's really all about, hold on, let me settle for a minute. Let me see what's going on within my body. And then I can make a decision on what to be instead of what to do. Because when you identify what you want to be, you know, in the moment, you can, the doing comes next. You know, what behavior do I want to create right now for this situation? What will be the most productive behavior?
So what's
the doing?
I'm intrigued by this question of what do we want to be? Like, can you answer that question for yourself? What do you want to be right now?
Well, right now I want to be present so that I can, so this conversation can be helpful to you and to your listeners. So I want to be present here, and I want to be able to inform and speak about the things that are most important. So, I realize, you know, I can either be present with my knowledge and be able to share that, or I can be present with fear of the fact that I am speaking on the radio and there are many people listening.
Yes.
And so I can either be thinking about how many people are listening and be fearful of that, or I can be present with, no, I have knowledge. I know what I'm talking about. Whatever questions Aaron throws at me, I'll be able to answer them. You know, that's, so right now I want to be present with this conversation and make sure that I can share with you the knowledge that I have.
For some reason, when you said the what do I want to be thing initially, I thought that was like a much deeper thing, like what do I want to be in terms of my whole life? I guess you could go there sometimes.
Well, when we want to be present, when we're asking that question in the moment, like in a conversation that you're having with a person, you know, you might be having an overindulgent, heated discussion with your partner. And what do you want to be, you know, in that moment? I mean, ultimately, you love this person, right? So you ultimately want to be a loving and kind human, even though the topic of the conversation is making you feel angry. Mm. So right now, I want to be loving and kind. So what is the most loving and kind thing that I can do? Is it to continue this conversation, or maybe we should walk away for a minute and come back after we've been able to, you know, go walk around and think about it for a minute? And, you know, so it depends on the situation that you're in, on who do I want to be right now? And then what's the behavior that's going to follow based on who do I want to be in this moment?
It's interesting. It's weird to go political from here, but I feel like, who do we want to be as a country feels like a good question to be asking, especially at the moment when there's lots of culture wars going on and the government's using the Treaty of Waitangi as a wedge to create votes for itself, or some parts of the government are. Coming back to the question, actually, what do we want this country to be like? Do we want to be at each other's throats all the time? You know,
exactly. Do we want to be divisive? You know, there's no production when we're divisive. It's really about, okay, let me try and understand what they're saying. At some level, they're trying to say something because, you know, they're the government. They're trying to I'm assuming, I don't know, but let's assume that they're trying to do something helpful for the entire population, all of the citizens of New Zealand. So let's be inclusive.
All right,
let's be united.
Let's try that.
Let's identify what does everyone in New Zealand, how can everyone in New Zealand benefit from what the government is trying to achieve right now? Instead of their offensive, I don't like, you know, they're stabbing their swords at a specific culture or a specific race. Let's be inclusive. Let's think about all of the people that live in New Zealand right now.
It's challenging. I was thinking about it in terms of not getting drawn into the culture war. So is that, you know, like for me, is that the country I want to live in, where we're arguing about things all the time and it's not very productive? It's just generating hatred and division. Like, I mean, I can't control everything, but I can control me, and I don't need to participate in that. But I would like the people on the other side of the fence to get that idea as well. That's the only thing.
Exactly. That's the whole thing, is everyone getting the same idea of, I can't control every situation, but I can control me. And what I want to be right now is united and inclusive. So let me try and understand what you're saying. And I would like to be able to express to you what I'm feeling and what my viewpoint is.
Okay, you so know, here's
if a... every... Go ahead.
So a question, this is an interesting question for you, because you know, in the past we've talked about your own personal story, how you found sophrology and it improved your health. I'm curious if you have a different, because we're talking about politics, if you have a different relationship to politics before and after that as well.
I have a different relationship to everything.
Okay. Oh, well then, yes. Yeah.
So yes, to politics, to everything. I am the way that I've just explained to you is how I now see everything.
Yeah.
I don't immediately have an opinion. I immediately neutralize myself. When my opinion comes up, I sense the physical sensation of my body. It stresses me out. My heart starts to beat, you know, my heartbeat goes up, my blood pressure rises. I feel, really horrible nausea and tingling sensation in my belly. Those are flaring signs of neutralize yourself and then identify who you want to be right now. And who I want to be is inclusive and understanding. I want to understand where you're coming from. So help me understand. So I choose not to form a divisive opinion, because I believe that all of us are divinely human, and we're all here to help each other to become something greater. We all have potential, and we want to rise to that potential, and we want to help others rise to that potential. And so when anyone's not filling the measure of their potential, then what can I do to help them do that? That's where I've come to. That's what sophrology has done for me.
It's interesting, as we think about getting those feelings when politics come up and people are getting those feelings, like, I mean, how pretty much everyone is, I think. Like, if you, it's interesting to stop and go, oh, okay, how am I feeling right now? And like, is that very good? And it's not very good. But then almost everyone involved in politics is feeling like that, except maybe for the sociopaths, who that's a whole different story. We won't get into that. I don't know. I'm trying to imagine a future where everyone is going, okay, I'm not going to get involved in this until I can do it without feeling like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't imagine that. I can't imagine what that would be like, because it's so far from where we are right now.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the key, is using your imagination. And that's one of the things that we train people to do in sophrology, is we use creative visioning to be able to use your imagination. I mean, it was Albert Einstein said that imagination was more important than knowledge. It's the language of the soul. It's how we pay attention. And if we pay attention to our imagination, we'll discover what we need personally to be fulfilled. And so what do we want to spend our time thinking about? And so when you're in that space of anger and frustration in regards to politics, that's actually very polarizing for you and very numbing. It keeps you stuck. And so by imagining this future of people united and people having open and productive conversation, it's actually helping you as a person, and you're also sending out that kind of energy and those kind of vibes out into the universe.
Yeah.
Where now you go around and you start having that creative visioning, and you see what you want to see. And so if you want to see unity and people working together to achieve great things, you'll see that it's happening. Not everything is destructive and miserable right now. There are some good things happening. So what are those good things? Let's focus on those. That's for our own health and well-being.
Yeah, yeah, and I think it's important to remember that's what we're talking about, because a lot of people will be like, but we have to stop those other people. And that happens whoever's in government, there's a proportion of the population who are active, go, we have to stop them. And
well,
you're talking about something else. You're talking about focusing on our health and our well-being first.
Yeah, definitely. If you're not a healthy person, how are you going to stop those people? Because you can't stop them in contention. The way to create a more inviting situation is to have conversation, like open, respectful conversation with people. It's not about contention and yelling and screaming and fighting with each other. What does that accomplish? Does it accomplish anything? I don't know.
Well, there's a lot of people doing it.
There are a lot of people caught up in it. But is it helpful? Is it helpful? Is it helpful to you personally? And that's the thing, you know, in this political climate, is identifying, you know, what can I do? What is my role as an individual in this situation? You know, can I stop them? How can I stop them? And what is it we're wanting to stop? You know, because all we're hearing is what the media is presenting to us, right? Mm. So, I mean, if we really just stopped for a minute and really tried to identify and understand what exactly is it you're trying to do that benefits me, we might see the beneficial side. It's possible.
It feels like a challenge. Some people will be going, oh, that's too hard. That's too hard.
Yeah, for sure. It's all very hard. And it's hard because now we have to actually use our brain to think about something else and think about something that's unifying rather than divisive.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And if you've got a head of steam on one thing, it's quite hard to change over to the other. And I guess that's where some of the techniques of sophrology that you've been talking about come in, like about grounding ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to actually give us a very quick, I've got my next interview ready to go, but can you just, before we go, give us some things about ways to ground yourself when you're feeling all head up about something?
Yeah, sure. One of the strategies, the most simple strategy that you can use when you're feeling anxious is to breathe. And so in sophrology, we'll use balanced breathing, and in our meditative strategies, we'll actually start with a standing body scan. So if you stand up, and you close your eyes and you breathe, and then you notice the motion of your body breathing. How does your body move? Is your breathing up in your shoulders and in your chest, or is down in your diaphragm just below your rib cage? And then if your eyes are closed, notice your body breathing. Take time to listen to the answer that you get. And while you're standing, you can start to rock back and forth or side to side. Just gentle movement of the body. So you're rocking up on your toes, back on your heels. And as you're doing that, you're breathing in rhythm with the movement of your body. And you're just feeling firmly grounded. You're trusting your body to keep you upright and straight and confident. And you're just, you know, rocking forwards and backwards or side to side. And you're just feeling the sensation of your body moving, the breathing that's happening with your body, getting out of your head, coming into your body, noticing the physical sensation, grounding. Now you're firmly rooted. Now who do I want to be in this moment?
Mm. And I imagine we could do that after we've indulged in some political activity to calm down, or we could do it beforehand to figure out whether it was a good idea to do it at all.
I would recommend before.
Yeah.
Because once you're grounded in your body, there's two choices. You can either go with the yin, which is to be calm and just sit with yourself, or the yang, which is to be active, to be actively engaged. And you'll be able to make that decision. Your body will speak to you. Your breath will speak to you. You'll identify the most beneficial way to move forward in a unifying way, because now you've unified the systems of your body. You've unified with your breath, and you've unified with that spiritual guide that's within you and your nervous system. So now you're able to think more clearly and identify the most beneficial way to move forward.
All right, Lani. Well, look, thank you for your time this morning. Do you just want to give people a link or something if people want to follow up sophrology with you? I know you've got a few articles on your website or something like that.
Yeah, Sophrosolus. So Sophro is spelled S-O-P-H-R-O, sophrosolus.com. And if you have other questions or you want to have a conversation with me, you can just email me, sophrosolus@gmail.com.
All right. Thanks for your time this morning, Lani.